Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
Welcome everyone to the Second Captain's Pod. We're back in Dublin after the roaring success of our trip to London. Hey Murph.
Hey Owen, how's it going?
Hi Ken.
Oh, and how are you?
Oh, I'm so good. I'm feeling good after last weekend, or last week I should say. We had Shane Duffy. Go on.
So good.
So good. So good, to quote a famous football manager. We had Shane Duffy live in Hackney. Sean Dyche breaking his silence on his Burnley sacking with Richie on the player's chair. But all Emmett Maron wants to focus on in this email he sent in is this exchange I had with Gabriele Marcotti in a nice Italian restaurant in Kensington.
Gotta say, Gabriele, I'm looking at the menu here and I'd like to look at this spaghetti alla chitarra con salso di pomodoro e basilico fresco. Did I pronounce that correctly?
It's chitarra. It means guitar. It's homemade fresh pasta. The sauce itself is just a basic basil and tomato sauce.
I like it. I'll keep it simple. Do you recommend it?
Very good, yeah.
I noted after Gabriele left the table that he had met my garbled Italian pronunciation with an icy stare. I felt there was possibly some silent judgment going on there. Emmett says it wasn't the mangled pronunciation that was the problem. He writes, as a longtime inhabitant of the Bel Paese, that's the beautiful country, by the way, Ken.
Siamo!
I would argue that what was at issue was not what was said, but what was ordered. While Italians might be happy enough for you to play fast and loose with their language, when it comes to food, they are pedantic. What, you may ask, was so wrong with ordering spaghetti alla chitarra con salsa di pomodoro? Nothing for a non-Italian, but for an Italian, it's the equivalent of ordering chicken and chips, a plate that is on the menu so parents can be sure their kids will eat something when they bring them to a restaurant. The Gabriele's, I'm sure it's very good, yeah, is a line that anyone who has gotten on the wrong side of Italian food dogma will be familiar with. If I was to guess what Marcotti ordered in order to demonstrate his culinary orthodoxy, I would go with either something with a vegetable currently in season for a very short period, asparagus or artichokes, or something very specific to the region that the owners of the restaurant come from. All the best from Emmett. Nice email, Emmett. We didn't actually have time to eat anything in the end, to be honest with you.
He had the osso buco like mama used to make.
It's anti-Italian discrimination.
See, what you did there, Owen, is you read it out far too slowly. The key is to just, whatever you're saying, say it extremely fast and back yourself. In your eagerness to pronounce everything correctly, it just came across as, you know, halting and
I actually did the thing that you normally do to somebody who, when you're trying to speak your language to them, you know, you speak English slowly that somebody might understand it better, even though it can be a little bit patronizing and you're probably not doing much of a better job. So I should have said spaghetti alla chitarra con salsa di pomodoro.
Yeah, exactly.
And just people say, wow, is that an Italian guy on the podcast?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's like Gianluca Vialli.
You ran into it there.
Yeah. Marcotti meets
Vialli. Is it Attilio Lombardo or that guy?
Attilio Lombardo might be better, yeah.
That guy used to manage Roma. Okay. Just trying to think of bald Italians.
Sign up now to hear everything that
happened. Silvio Berlusconi?
And in, oh, we also in Nottingham, because something big happened in Nottingham. That's where Richie met Sean Dyche for an unbelievable chat. Secondcaptains.com, €5 a month plus VAT to hear everything that went down. As for the live show, Shane Duffy came on to talk about lots of stuff, including life under Stephen Kenny with the national team. Also his plans at club level at the end of this season, as well as his struggles following the death of his father 2 years ago.
He was the first person I would make a phone call after a game if he weren't there. It would be when I was having a good time, he'd be the first one there. For bad time, the same. So probably the first game I came back, I had no one to call, and it was like, I sat in my car and I was like, my mum knows football, but she doesn't know football like the way my dad would know it, and the conversation weren't the same, and that's where it sort of hit me really hard, and sat in the car and didn't move for an hour, so it was just them, and then it would just go on and on. So it was tough, and it was his anniversary yesterday, and it was a tough day yesterday. So you just got to crack on and try and make everyone proud.
Yeah, lovely reaction from the crowd there throughout that chat with Shane Duffy. We've already lavished praise on our London crew and our football pod, but happy to do so again. They're really good there, especially when Shane was going through some of that tough stuff that has happened in his personal life there. So good luck to Shane Duffy with whatever happens next season. Thanks to our good friends at Aer Lingus for helping the live show to become a reality. And we look forward to seeing everybody in London again as soon as is humanly possible. Murph, let's talk a little bit of hurling, because it was a decent old weekend in the Munster Championship.
It really was on two games yesterday. And kind of watching Cork and Waterford, it seemed like it was a brilliant atmosphere, tight ground, crowd in on top of the pitch. It seemed like, oh man, this is absolutely brilliant. Whatever comes next is going to be, it's going to be hard to follow this, given the fact that Cork, having been lower than a snake's belly for basically the last 2 months, losing three games, three big games in a really terrible fashion, if you put the league final with the first two games of the Munster Championship, and then you put those three games with the last big game of 2021, which is, of course, the absolute defenestration in the All-Ireland Hurling final to Limerick. And people, there was an element of people in Cork who had just kind of given up on this team, who just, these guys just don't have it. They don't have the sort of competitive fire required to actually win these games. And then they go down to Waterford, and they've just put it, their fielding in particular was absolutely unbelievable. Darragh Fitzgibbon, Kieran Joyce, Seamus Harnady went up and just caught unbelievable balls.
Oh, there was one amazing point, was that Harnady caught one, caught a beaut, an absolute beautiful catch. And in fairness, not particularly well defended, but who cares about that? Then burns a couple of lads, and then gets into it with some defenders as well afterwards, which is always
That was, I think, the insurance point, the one that put them five up, I think, maybe, towards the end. But, I mean, that blew the whole championship wide open. Because if Waterford had won, then it was done and dusted. Next week's finale was going to be a damp squib. As it is now, all of a sudden Cork win their last game, they're through to the All Ireland stages.
And Waterford are out.
It's completely out of Waterford's hands now. Cork have to beat Tipperary, who haven't won a game in the entire championship so far at all. And if Cork do that, no matter what happens between Waterford and Clare in the final game next Sunday, it's done. Cork will go through.
This is hilarious. Wasn't everyone telling me 2 weeks ago Waterford were going to win the All Ireland?
Yeah, but what's happened, and this is kind of the shocking thing for Waterford. Looking at their league semi-final, where they hammered Wexford, like absolutely went to town on Wexford, and then the league final display where they went to town on Cork, they were flying high. They play, but it's curdled for them. And it, looking back, even at the first weekend where they really struggled to beat Tipperary in Walsh Park, that was actually the first sign of it. And then they go and lose to Limerick in the second game. And, that was a really good game. They acquitted themselves pretty well before losing by whatever it was, 3 or 4 points. But then just that performance yesterday, so flat. And it's becoming a recurring theme now. Stephen Bennett scored from play for the first time in the championship, and this is into the third game, having just been unplayable throughout the league, and in particular in the league final where he got 2-11. Tadej Borka had his best game of the championship, but he's nowhere near where you kind of expect him to be. And then Gleeson, you know, and again, it's like, it was a weekend in a lot of ways for heroes, you know, for the big characters in teams to step up. Mm. And it was just really instructive, I think, to look at three of the, well, I mean, if you say that Garrod Hegarty, in the absence of Keane Lynch, is the Limerick hero, then it was dramatic for all four of the teams in the Munster Championship looked at through this prism. But I actually watched this game back. I was flying back from London yesterday afternoon. So I had heard that Austin Gleeson had got himself sent off. And I was just like, this is, how could he get himself sent off?
Bear in mind, he was sent off in the league at the end of the league semi-final, and was then suspended for the final. Yeah.
For the final, and Liam Cahill made a big play of not... not appealing, not trying to overturn that.
In other words, you got to learn your lesson here. We had a big chat about that with Malachy and Jimmy Waller, right? Yeah.
So I was all geared up to watch this game back in full yesterday evening when I got home, and just, you know, I was sharpening the knives for Austin Gleeson, and then, and it's still ridiculous that he got himself sent off, but it was interesting to see after 3 minutes Niall O'Leary and himself. Not only obviously just rising him at every possible stage off the ball, in his face, grabbing him, stopping him from making runs. And throughout the game, the kind of the pressure was building, and Gleeson was getting less and less help from everyone else on the Waterford team. And it's still ridiculous that he got himself sent off, but there was mitigation there in the way that the game was going, that he was actually the only Waterford player that stood up to be, you know, the only big Waterford player that stood up to actually really be counted throughout the game. He was getting so little help from so many players that you'd be expecting to give him help throughout the game. Like the Cork hero for the last 15 years, Patrick Horgan, became the highest scorer in the history of the championship yesterday, which is a huge moment. You know, he overtakes Joe Canning, overtakes Henry Shefflin, but he hit one free wide. He fumbled a pass from Seamus Harity that could easily have been a goal. He gets whipped off after 40 minutes, and it's kind of hard to see where Horgan fits into this Cork team in a lot of ways. And for so long, for the last kind of 10 years, all of Cork's fortunes have revolved around Patrick Horgan, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And all of the pressure, he's taken all of that pressure on board. And it's so difficult for these heroes to accept, you know, that, God, maybe the team's actually better off without me. Even if I end up with 7 or 8 points from frees and I contribute a point or two, my face doesn't fit anymore. And he gets this record, but it was, and Cork win the game. But I still don't know how happy Patrick Horgan is today, you know, because he's wrestling with all that sort of personal stuff, like the magnificent achievement. I mean, when you think of it, like the top scorer in the history of the 140 years nearly of the GAA, he is the top scorer in the history of the GAA Hurling Championship. And yet still this morning he wakes up and goes like, do I start the next day? Do I well, get...
I'd wager minutes? He's happier than Austin Gleeson is.
Yeah. Yeah, that is certainly true. But, you know, on a day where it was like a personal accolade was handed out, I still wouldn't be all that surprised if Patrick Horgan was also thinking on a personal level rather darker thoughts than he should be, having got that accolade.
You mentioned a lot of big names there, Murph, in the Munster Championship this weekend. One conspicuous by its absence so far, Tony Kelly, Clare.
Oh, just
how many points did he end up with?
He ended up with 16, but he went the last half hour without scoring. He had 16 points by the 44th minute, and he didn't score again. And actually, he had a couple of the easiest chance he got all game, he put wide. Mm. But he was unbelievable. The first 20 minutes of the game.
And this is against Limerick, we should mention as well. Yeah, so they're playing against the All-Ireland champions, best team in the country, and looks like Clare are building something quite nice.
Oh, and so it will be a repeat of Clare Limerick in the Munster final. That at least has been sorted out. But Tipperary aren't completely out of this either, by the way. Just before we move off, kind of if Tip beat Cork by 7 or 8 points and Waterford lose, then Tip go through on scoring average.
Yeah, so basically it goes if two teams end up together, it goes on the record head-to-head. Whoever won that match. But if three are together, then it'll go on
points on scoring difference. Yeah. So Clare would have to beat Waterford by 6 or 7 and Tip win by 6 or 7. And that's where it gets a little bit more complicated. But Tip are not out of it. But this game, as I was saying, Waterford Cork looked really good, atmosphere really good, and then you switch over to Ennis and it was just everything that Walsh Park was, only 200% noisier, more atmospheric. It just looked like the most unbelievable.
It did, absolutely.
Brilliant. Yeah. And then the first 25 minutes was warfare, as Keith Duggan described it in the Irish Times, like an explosion in a dynamite factory. And that's really what it was. It was so much fun to watch. It was absolutely just rip-roaring stuff. It slowed a little, and the last kind of 20 minutes were quite nervy. Gerard Hegarty, who has become this totem, obviously, for Limerick, gets himself sent off. Now, it looked very harsh. Both the yellow cards, you could argue. I see this one being overturned, for sure. Particularly when their next game is a Munster final, and they'll want him for a Munster final with Keane Lynch. I would say that they will rest Keane Lynch, make sure that his injury is right for the All-Ireland series. Aaron Galland didn't talk at all yesterday. He had a sprain. That was all the information that we were given, so who knows what's going on there. But I would say they will appeal Hegarty. But all of this noise, John Kiely coming out afterwards saying that there are two pundits in particular talking complete nonsense about Garrod Hegarty and it has to stop. The pressure is getting to Limerick as well. You know, I'm sure referees are thinking, you know, if it's Garrod Hegarty involved in something, maybe, you know, there's a higher than average chance that something has actually happened here. It is weighing on referees. It has to be weighing on Garrod Hegarty, although he doesn't seem to have modified his behaviour a whole pile. His hurley is still flying around the place at head-high level every time he goes in for a tackle, which, at some stage, you're going to have to say, that at least is in your control. I mean, the contact seemed to be fleeting for his second yellow card, but you can at least keep your hurley down. You know, you can tackle with your arms instead of your hurley, Garrod. That is something that maybe you could try and change. But it was mad. Like, it seemed like Leinster was going to be the province where all of the last day drama was going to happen, and that Munster was going to be wrapped up in a neat little bow by 3:30 tomorrow. And all of a sudden now, next weekend, there's still stuff to be sorted out with Leinster, but Munster is hilarious again. It's going to be hilarious again, which really whets the appetite, you know?
What about the football then?
Now, can Mead go for the goal here? 2:13 to 1:13. This is like old times at the moment.
Hurt them, kill them, injure them.
A route ruling on the 45-metre line. This is deliberately to stop Mead's momentum. Have no doubt about that. When Dublin get vulnerable, they always do this. Always and ever. And always and ever have.
That was our mentality in the 80s.
Hurt them, kill them, injure them.
Some of me footballers are missing now. Killer instinct.
Tough babe, the lad is good, yeah.
Two or three players need to be stopped. Some way, somehow, they need to be stopped.
Hurt them, kill them, injure them.
Killing Dublin, stopping Dublin. There's certain things Mead need to do to stop them, you know?
There's still a chance for Mead, and Dublin at the moment are holding on to it in an obnoxious fashion. This is ugly, ugly football.
That killer instinct. Your purpose on this planet is to stop Dublin.
Hurt them, kill them, injure them.
Do anything you've got to do, they're just going to be stopped. They're either going to be outplayed or they're going to be removed.
Laid back. Tough faith, lad, in for the
air. Oh, Ken. I know you're disappointed at this stage. I mean, you want a vibrant Meath team. You want Meath to put it up to the Dubs, but...
That we don't have a vibrant Meath.
Yeah.
I
mean, you're aware, obviously, of the Dublin Meath Leinster Championship match at the weekend.
I could hear it in the tinkling of the Tolka.
Played in Crow Park on your doorstep, of course. Yeah. I mean, sorry, just for those who aren't familiar.
Just as a massive Dubs fan, Ken, way that would have slipped you.
The game did finish 127 to 114, just for those who aren't.
I heard some moans and groans, all right.
Might have been the Meath fans.
Was it in a broad northeastern accent?
Dublin are holding on to it in an obnoxious fashion.
Some drawling moans and groans.
Give us a bar then, Murph. Go on.
There's a lot of that, I'd say. It was shambolic from me.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, they're doing their best, you know. And I always go back to the words of Liam Hayes, you know. These guys, these men have to be stopped.
Hurt them, kill them, injure them.
And I guess it hasn't happened yet. You know, maybe it will happen at some point in the future, but just not today.
Well, why are you saying it's that bad? Was it any worse than any other beating they've taken from them? And
well, they had a chance to play this game somewhere else other than Croke Park for a start, you know? Yeah. And this idea that Meath are too proud to do anything other than take Dublin on in Croke Park. I wrote a comment about this a couple of weeks ago, talked to quite a few Meath people, and they were like, oh, yeah, well, you know, Meath quite like playing in Croke Park, you know? I said, really? It hasn't been that happy a hunting ground. And whatever about, if maybe Meads don't love playing in Portlaoise, but maybe the Dubs don't either. Maybe you could try that. Maybe you could at least say, if we're going to be uncomfortable, maybe let's try and make the Dubs uncomfortable. Let's take them out of their home ground where they're guaranteed to have 20,000 supporters and bring them down the country and see what happens. And just the spinelessness of that performance by Meath. And, oh, it's just, it actually boggles the mind. We will be talking to Oisín McConville and Paul Flynn on Wednesday about this. But, yeah. Wow, Meath, wow.
Don't worry, Leon Faulkner, if you're listening, our Derry man who got onto you last week, Murph. I'm sure we'll be talking plenty about Derry's relentless march to the Ulster title with Oisín and Flynn and Paul Flynn as well. So I'm waiting for a follow-up email from Leon, who pays very close attention to exactly what Derry content there is or isn't on the World Service. That's all. That's all to come later in the week. It's also the final week of the Premier League. Loads still to play for there. We've got Shane Horgan tomorrow on Leinster, romping through to the Champions Cup final, and loads more besides that going on. So secondcaptains.com, €5 a month plus VAT. That's it for today. Thanks, Ken. Thanks, Ciarán.
Thank you, Owen. And thank you, Ciarán.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Owen.
Take care. Have a good one.
Having had success after 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 success.
That's a 9 in a row. That's the Leinster Championship. Okay, yeah. After success.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.